Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. Now, do you know the difference between Bitcoin and Ethereum? How Bitcoin mining works? And do you wonder if Bitcoin is mined? Should it be referred to as a crypto commodity instead of a cryptocurrency? If so, what might this mean for it as a store of value and transactability? Well, in a recent report, DBS Bank's chief investment office set about to, as they put it, demystify the enigmatic cryptocurrency. To help us with some of that demystifying, we're joined now by Daryl Ho, and he's the senior investment strategist at DBS Bank's chief investment office. Daryl, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Rachel. Happy to be here.
So, Daryl, at the start of your report, you highlight that the last decade was one for the risk takers. Investing in the S&P 500, for example, would have netted a 284% return, while the tech-heavy NASDAQ Composite Index gained 440%. Yet, none of these come close to the staggering 15,000 times profit achieved with Bitcoin. Now, when Bitcoin first entered the market, I'm interested to hear, what were your thoughts on cryptocurrency and how has your view changed?
Well, that's a great question, Rachel. I think certainly with most institutional investors, we were quite dismissive when it first entered the market. I think everyone was kind of talking about a bubble forming up. I think back then, as an institutional investor, you're also aware of the news. I mean, when Bitcoin was a bit smaller, there were quite a few bad actors, right? You heard of stories where exchanges had security lapses, some exchanges went bankrupt, fraudulent behavior. I mean, you name it. There were multiple avenues by which you could lose your Bitcoin, and just not in terms of the price, if you know what I'm talking about. As the market developed over the last 10 years, what changed, right? So I can think of three things. The first one is a maturity of the market. Just as there were bad actors in the past, there were more reputable actors suddenly coming on board, coming to back exchanges, governments getting involved in regulation. So I think that provides a little bit more comfort for the average investor. Secondly, there's digital familiarity. So 10 years ago, digital assets were not mainstream. Mm-hmm. But today, you see things like if you ever venture into the avenue of computer games, sometimes a digital asset like a skin or just a piece of clothing can trade for tens of thousands of dollars. I think there's a familiarity been developing over the last 10 years on investors, or not really investors, but people being familiar with digital assets holding value. Yeah, and thirdly, I think this is the most important driver, and I think it's central bank monetary debasement. And I think we saw the printing of a lot of currency last year to stave off the crisis. And I think this pushed a lot of investors out there to search for alternative forms of currency that cannot be printed on a whim. And I think in that sense, Bitcoin checked all the boxes.
So how has your view changed then, Daryl?
I think personally, even as someone who's been observing Bitcoin, I think what has changed is actually that the time factor does help it, right? And I think one of the things about the blockchain network is that initially you could have a lot of criticism. You could say that it can be hacked. You could say that there can be bad actors who can disrupt the blockchain, conduct a 51% attack. But you see, over this amount of time, the Bitcoin network has survived. And it's survived even hard forks several years ago. It spawned the formation of Bitcoin Cash. So, and yet today it still thrives and the prices are higher than what you would have many years ago. So I think the passage of time itself is a verification of the integrity of the blockchain network. And I think this is one of the reasons why investors are slowly warming up, because as much as you can highlight the risks, the network itself has been robust, you know, and it has stood the test of time.
Okay, but let's take a step back for a minute. And as your report puts it, attempt to demystify cryptocurrencies. So let's start off with what exactly cryptocurrencies are, how they work, and perhaps let's look at the two largest, Bitcoin and Ethereum. What's the difference between the two?
I think there's a question that a lot of people would like to know the answer to. So I think firstly, it's important to state that these cryptocurrencies are not diametrically opposed to each other, right? The creator of Ethereum, Vitalik Buterin, he dedicated an entire section in his white paper to hail Bitcoin as a radical development in money and currency. Mm-hmm. So Bitcoin, it uses cryptographic proof to verify transactions, right? I think this has been talked about before. Miners who solve the puzzle get to add blocks of transactions to the blockchain and get rewarded with more Bitcoin. And the rewards diminish with time, such that the supply of Bitcoin is actually limited. So if I want to build on that and talk about Ethereum is kind of also built upon these fundamental building blocks and the building blocks of cryptography and the distributed ledger system, but it does not have a defined supply limit like Bitcoin has. So that's one difference. And I think the other important difference for Ethereum is that it enables the storing of computer code on the blockchain, which allows for authors to create other developments like decentralized apps and smart contracts. And I think in short, if I were to sum up the differences, I would say Bitcoin is a developing alternative store of value. Ethereum is a developing alternative medium of exchange.
Yes, but speaking of transactability is still low. Do you think it's worthy of such a high price?
Yeah, I think if you look at transactability, it is just one dimension to value Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. And I would also like to clarify that Bitcoin might be misclassified as a cryptocurrency, and I think it's more apt to call it a crypto commodity.
Right.
Yeah, so if you think about it, supply for Bitcoin is limited. They use words like it is mined. A lot of energy has been invested to extract Bitcoin. So this sounds like something you would describe a commodity with. So if you measure Bitcoin by transactability as a currency, I don't think that alone justifies its high valuations. You know, after all, it can only fulfill about 5 transactions per second against Visa's 1,700 per second. So I think it's more fair to use non-transactability frameworks to value Bitcoin and think about where its market cap should be.
Okay, Daryl, to conclude, do you think that this is just another manic bubble or the start of a new monetary revolution?
Yeah, I think we have to take a step back and look at technology in general, right? With most new technologies, investor enthusiasm can be a large factor in bubble formation, and you can't deny it. And you just have to wind the clock back 20 years, you know, and you see the tech crisis and what happened to the stock markets back then. But just like the tech crisis, just because there was a pets.com that failed, it didn't mean that there weren't the Amazons that revolutionized retail as we know today. So this means that there is always a huge gap between the value of an idea, a technological idea, and the investor's ability to capture that value. So I would say if you are a rational investor, if you find the pros of Bitcoin attractive, you can invest a sum of money that you can afford to lose, perhaps diversifying across various cryptocurrencies with good basic foundations. So you might just hit that unicorn, you know, that Amazon that you can brag about in 20 years' time. I think this should be the standpoint we feel that investors should take when it comes to cryptocurrency.
Wonderful. Well, Daryl, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today and sharing all those insights.
Thanks for having me, Rachel.
We've been speaking with Daryl Ho, Senior Investment Strategist at DBS Bank's Chief Investment Office, about the intricacies of cryptocurrencies. I'm Rachel Kelly. You're listening to Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.